Translation. Sri Kanu Thakura, a very respectable gentleman, was a son of Purushottam Das Thakur. He was such a great devotee that Lord Krishna always lived in his body. I'll read it again. Sri Kanu Thakura, a very respectable gentleman, was the son of Purushottam Das Thakura. He was such a great devotee that Lord Krishna always lived in his body. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. To go to the headquarters of Kanu Thakura, one has to proceed by boat from the Jikaragacha Ghat station to the river known as Kampotaksa. Otherwise, if one goes about two and a half miles from the Jikaragacha Ghat station, he can see Bodhakalana, the headquarters of Kanu Thakur. The son of Sadashiva was Purushottam Thakur, and his son was Kanu Thakura. The descendants of Kanu Thakura know him as Nagara Purushottama. He was the cowherd boy named Dama during Krishna Leela. It is said that just after the birth of Kanu Thakura, his mother Janava died. When he was about 12 days old, Sri Nityananda Prabhu took him to the home of Kadadaha. It is ascertained that Kanu Thakura was born sometime in the Bengali year 942. It is said that he took birth on the Rathayatra day. Because he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna from the very beginning of his life, Sri Nityananda Prabhu gave him the name Sisu Krishna Das. When he was 5 years old, he went to Vrindavan with Janava Mata. And upon seeing the ecstatic symptoms of Kanu Thakura, the Goswamis gave him the name Kanai Thakura. In the family of Kanu Thakura, there is a Radhakrishna deity known as Pranavallabha. It is said that his family worshipped this deity long before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When there was a Maharashtrian invasion of Bengal, the family of Kanu Thakura was scattered. And after the invasion, one Hare Krishna Goswami of that family came back to their original home, Bodhakalana, and reestablished the Pranavallabha deity. The descendants of the family still engage in the service of Pranavallabha. Kanu Thakura was present during the Kateri Utsava when Janavi Devi and Virabhadra Goswami were also present. One of Kanu Thakura's family members, Madhavacharya, married the daughter of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who was named Ganga Devi. Both Purushottam Thakur and Kanu Thakur had many disciples from Brahmin families. Most of the cyclic descendants of Kanu Thakur now reside in the village of Gadabeta by the river Shilapati in the Midnapur district. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gina Jina Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Vandeham Siguro Siyuta Padagamalam Sigurun Vaishnavamscha Si rupam sagrajatam sahaganat raganatam vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam sarvadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam sri radha krishna padam sahagana lalita sri vishakam vitamscha hey krishna karuna sindhu dina bandhu jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Bebacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaho Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prastaya Bhutale, Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pacharine. Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastyatyade Satarine. So this chapter is the descendants of Lord Nityananda. And in this particular section here, and in the previous two verses, there is also a description of this three-part succession here from Sadashiva Goswami, or Sadashiva, to his son Purushottam Thakur, and to the illustrious son that we are speaking of, who is a very dear and associate of Lord Nityananda, Kanu Thakur. So Kanu Thakur, as it's mentioned here, he is actually a cowherd boar in his previous life in Krishna Lila's Dhamma, one of Krishna's associates in the eternal world, who has descended to come to assist the Lord in his pastimes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like that. So these associates of the Lord are very intimate and very dear to the Lord. As it says here, Kanu Thakur, in his body Krishna constantly resided. So we know by philosophical teachings that the Lord resides in the hearts of all living entities. But in this particular statement, the emphasis means that the Lord was personally present in his manifestation as the associate of the Lord, of his devotee. In other words, he was fully present in the body of the Lord. And therefore, whatever he did was practically, or actually coming from Krishna himself, non-different. Such a great personality. It's mentioned here that when he was born, his mother, Janava, died after 11 days. I did a little research and found an interesting little pre-story about his life before he actually took birth as Kanu Thakur. One great Vaishnava, Sri Krishna Kamala Goswami, relates a story which is follows. One day in Sukha Sargar, one excellent ecstatic came to the house of Purushottam Das Thakur and addressed the housewife as mother. And then he begged some food. Whether the food of domestic family would be appropriate for the ecstatic, or was it desirable for the well-being of the family? Question. Without considering these, the wife of Purushottama Das Thakur fed the hungry ecstatic with great care, as if feeding Lord Narayan himself. She said with tearful eyes that by hearing the sannyasi address her as mother, her heart filled with nectar, and she told the ecstatic, "I have never heard such a nectar-filled call." He spoke with such love. After hearing this doleful utterance, the ascetic's heart was softened and he told her, "Don't cry, mother. I will take birth in your room as your child." Wow. There was a customary proverb that before the birth of Sri Thakur Kanai, his mother had a vision of him. The root of the verb lies here. Hearing this, she asked, "How will I know that you have taken birth in my womb? Will there be any kind of sign?" The ascetic answered, "Look, mother, on my shoulder. Here is a sign of a spade of a potter. You will find the same sign on the shoulder of the baby. But don't tell this to anyone. If you tell this secret, you will die." Hare Krishna. Saying this, Yogi disappeared. She was extremely surprised by the incident. At last, the baby was born, and she found the same sign as the ascetic told. Astonishedly, she died when she told this incident to the midwife, because it mentions his mother died 11 days after his birth. So, such a great personality. But his father, Purushottam Thakur, upon now having a child with no wife or mother to take care of the child, was quite devastated. But just after the death of the mother, Lord Nityananda, along with some of his associates, arrived at the house of Purushottam Thakur and said, "This child belongs to me. I will take care of him and I will bring him up." And so the boy, that's such a baby, was taken by Lord Nityananda and given to his wife Janava Devi, the Janava Devi. And she raised that child, and on the first grain ceremony, he was given the name Shishu Krishna. Does anybody know what the word Shishu means? Or what the terminology refers to? It must be a very affectionate terminology. Sisu, S-I-S-U. Huh? Baby. Uh-huh, okay. So Nityananda gave him that name, Sisu Krishna. This was on his first grain ceremony, and the boy was raised by his mother, Janava Devi. His original mother was named also Janava Devi, but she departed. And so we're hearing a little bit about these great personalities who are actually eternal associates of the Lord as they perform their pastimes in this world. To hear about the glories of these great personalities is as good as, or even better than, to hear the glories of the Lord. As the scriptures emphatically emphasize the importance of Krishna consciousness is to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. But along with that statement is a higher principle, is to hear and chant the glories of those who have dedicated their lives to the service of the Lord and have become purified by that service. In other words, the pure devotees of the Lord. In this case, he is not only a pure devotee, he is actually an eternal associate of Lord Krishna, who appears again in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes to assist the Lord in his pastimes. So by such hearing of these great personalities, one pleases Krishna. One pleases Krishna. And we know that the essence of bhakti is to please Krishna. Ayabilasita sunya jnana kamaranavitam anukalena krishna silanam bhakti uttama. The essence of bhakti is to serve Krishna with a desire to please Krishna, an intended desire to please Krishna. And there's no more sweeter and nectarine and very edifying way to please Krishna, because we gain so much knowledge in this activity, is to glorify and hear about the pastimes of his pure devotees. Because the pure devotees carry the Lord within their heart, and they carry the mercy of the Lord, and that means one can achieve the mercy of the Lord only by the pure devotees of the Lord. Of course, there are the spiritual masters. But then, bhakti is not only just the gurus, but the great acharyas and their associates who have performed the pastimes of the Lord. It's interesting here. I was just thinking, why does there, and it's, you'll find this in many, many of the purports, there's always a general, detailed description of how to get to these holy places. You take this train, and you go to this station, and then you turn left, and there's so many movements, and then you finally wind up at this holy place. Why is it there? Is it just something to fill the pages? No, actually, and Srila Prabhupada mentions this, he said, every devotee in our Krishna conscious movement should visit all the holy places of pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Haribol. All the places of pastimes. And therefore, there's always a detailed description of Lord Chaitanya's travels, where he went to, what he did when he was there, who he met. And you can also find the geography, how to get there. Interesting. So these little bit of maps, we could say, verbal maps, are more or less indicating that take a trip. Go to these holy places and get the mercy of the Lord. And these holy places are filled with the Shakti of the Lord's pure devotees. And therefore, by taking the dust of the holy places, we're performing one of the nine processes of bhakti, and that is worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. Worshipping of the lotus feet of the Lord is many-branched. Lakshmi Devi is the perfection of that service, and she serves very intimately Lord Narayan, never leaving his lotus feet and always attentive to his needs. But that lotus feet really means also those places that are traversed by the Lord and the Lord's pure devotees, or where they have performed their pastimes like that. And Srila Prabhupada has given us that indication in his statements, but he actually made it an instruction in another statement where he said, all of our devotees in our ISKCON movement should go every year to Sridham Mayapur for at least 8 days during the Gaur Purnima festival. Exact statement, 8 days. Of course, he's indicating that that'll give you enough mercy. Go there to associate with the devotees. And why do we go to holy places? Why? Because the pastimes of the Lord are there. Those places are saturated with those pastimes and the mercy of the Lord. And of course, the holy people who take residence in those places are actually transmitters of the transcendental knowledge of these holy places. And so far we gain so much knowledge from going to these holy places. So taking pilgrimage into the holy places is actually one of the features of bhakti, and it should be performed at least once a year. Sometimes devotees say to me, I don't have any money. Don't worry, just go. Krishna will provide. If you do something in line with the instructions of the spiritual master that is fixed on your spiritual elevation, whatever facilities are required will be provided by the Lord. So, therefore, we want to hear more and more about these great personalities. And this whole chapter is about the associates of Lord Nityananda. I'll tell a little story. Of course, this is just not, it's not really a story, it's just a statement. But it said something by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada was asked so many times, what is your swarup? What is your association with Krishna in the spiritual world? One time he said, the first time he said it, or he answered the question, he said, that you do not require. In other words, none of your business. Why did he say that? Because he didn't want us to see him in a different way other than the spiritual master. Not that he wanted to hide that. But there's another reason behind it. Because it says you don't really reveal your internal swarup outside of those intimate devotees who are your spiritual masters like that. Otherwise, you could lose the strength of that realization by revelation. It says that is something that is internal and develops as one practices devotional service. It's on the stage of Raghunuga Bhakti. But we're meant to come to that stage through the process of carefully following Vaidhi Bhakti and performing the activities of devotional service with complete fixation on Krishna, the deity, the holy name, the association of the Vaishnavas. In other words, when we concentratedly apply our mind to every activity of devotional service, the mind becomes absorbed in those activities, and then spontaneous development gradually starts to come, along with the mercy of the great souls. It's something you can't surreptitiously adopt. It comes by way of the power of your own bhakti. But Prabhupada, of course, was a great soul, obviously. That doesn't need to be... Nobody needs to be convinced about that, just by the power of his devotional service. And the second time he was asked, what is your relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world? The second time he said, if I told you, you would faint. In other words, he wasn't a small thing. If I told you, you would faint. But he never told us. But when another time, this was not even asked, no one asked this question of Prabhupada. Prabhupada was talking about himself. He said, my eternal color is reddish gold. Now, if you see the deities in Mayapur, Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivas, Lord Chaitanya is golden. Really golden. Gadadhar is also golden. You look closely, you'll see there's a difference. There's three different color gold on that altar. Advaita is a whitish gold. It's gold, but a kind of a white hue within the gold. And so is Srivas. The person who is unique is Nityananda. His color is reddish gold. You can see it on, if you look at the deities in a comparative way, you'll see his color is with a gold, but with a reddish hue within that gold. So Prabhupada mentioned that his eternal color. So in other words, coming from the line of Lord Nityananda, and he's mentioned that many and other times. So here, these are the associates of Lord Nityananda. So those associates also have the characteristics of Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda is the eternal cowherd boy. He is Balaram, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha, Prajendra Nandana Ye, Sachi Sutta Hoilo Se, Balaram Hoilo Nitai. That same Balaram has become Lord Nityananda to assist Krishna as Brajendra Nandana, now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Vrindavan and Mayapur, Vrindavadweep, is actually non-different. There's no difference. You go to Navadweep, you're actually going to Vrindavan. What is the difference between Navadweep and Vrindavan? Adalya, or what is called mercy. There's more mercy. In other words, one can get the benefit of Sri Vrindavan Dham with less qualifications, spiritual qualifications. And one also is pardoned easily from apparent offenses, where in Vrindavan, the offenses are strong. You commit an offense there, you get a reaction. Because that's the pure land. Of course, it's not that Navadvip is non-different. It's different, but non-different at the same time. It's a prototype of Vrindavan, but because of Mahaprabhu's mercy, and he is called Karuna Avatar. He's the most Mahavidanaya, Krishna Prema Padayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, Namani Goda Triste Namaha. There's no more merciful manifestation than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So actually to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, which is the goal of this Krishna consciousness movement, one has to take shelter of Mahaprabhu and serve his mission and serve according to his directions. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. So that is Sri Mayapur Dham or Sri Navadvip Dham. And so Gaur Nitai are non-different than Radha than Krishna and Balaram. But they are also very, very, and more merciful. Therefore, we take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and chant the holy names of the Lord and hear about the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because by that mercy, we get an attraction for Vrindavan Dham. And that is the way to move towards Vrindavan Dham. Vrindavan Dham, one has to get the blessings of Mahaprabhu. How does one get the blessing of Mahaprabhu? By carefully following the instructions of Mahaprabhu. But those blessings of Vrindavan come when one becomes fixed in devotional service through the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. Chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the actual purification of the heart, and it is Vrindavan Dham manifested in the sound of the holy name. The full mercy of all aspects of the Absolute Truth, including the highest aspect, Sri Vrindavan Dham, is in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Do we actually have that understanding when we chant every day? Or sometimes we think, 16 rounds, so many things to do. But here's the opportunity, the merciful opportunity, to associate with Krishna through the chanting of his holy name. The holy name is everything and more. In fact, there's one more added element in the holy name that's even not in Krishna. Uh-oh, better cut that out of the lecture. What is that? It says that if you offend Krishna, if you pray to Krishna to get the relief of the offenses, you may or may not get that prayer. Prayer answer. But if you chant the holy names with attention and for a long period of time, then that offense is relieved by the mercy of the holy name. So in other words, Rupa Goswami mentions that in his Namastika, that out of these two, Nam and Nami, the name is more merciful than the person who is being named. That little bit of extra mercy. And that manifestation of mercy has appeared in person as Mahaprabhu. And the associates of Mahaprabhu and associates of Lord Nityananda are as good as Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, non-different. Because by their mercy, we get the enthusiasm to hear and chant the glories and pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled all over India. And he went from Jagannath Puri all the way down to Kanyakumari, to the very tipmost part, to where the three oceans meet. And there's three oceans that meet there. The Adriatic Sea, the Bay of Bengal, and what is the other one? The Indian Ocean. Three oceans meet there, and then he came back up all the way. And then it says that when he went up past Bombay, Bombay wasn't Bombay then, or Mumbai, it was actually Vaipayana. Vaipayana. When you look on those of Lord Chaitanya traveling, he went to a place called Vaipayani. Vaipayani. That was actually Bombay. And then he crossed over and then went back towards Jagannath Puri. He took 6 years to do that. And he visited so many places. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, along with his sannyasis, traveled to many of these holy places and established 29 of these places with the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When we went to Trivandrum Temple, and we saw Lord Chaitanya's footprints in the Trivandrum Temple. That's where Lord Chaitanya found the Brahma Samhita there. And so those places were visited by Mahaprabhu and his associates like that. So one cannot estimate the value of the association of these holy places, because the personal association of these holy places comes along with the personalities who perform activities in these holy places. That is the mercy like that. So we're reading about Kanhaiya Thakur and his... it'll go on in the next verse, which we'll speak about tomorrow, is another associate of Lord Nityananda, or the Udarana Thakur. So these Chaitanya Charitamrita, and of course many other books, are simply filled with the lives and glories of the great personalities who've made Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda their life and soul. Like that. And it says that Kanhaiya Thakur was actually present in the Kateri Gram festival. You've all heard that story of the Kethari Gram festival? How many of you have not heard that pastime? Kethari Gram festival is one of the most amazing pastimes because it was 50 years after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the planet, where the devotees were in three places. They were in Navadvip, they were in Vrindavan, and they were in Jagannath Puri. So Lord Chaitanya had left the planet, and the devotees were preaching in different places. Janavadevi, of course, actually it was the inspiration of Jiva Goswami, and Narottam Das Thakur, amongst what other associates, Srinivas Acharya, and Ramachandra Kaviraj, all of these got together and decided to have a festival in honor of Lord Chaitanya's disappearance. The first Gaur Purnima festival. Lord Chaitanya disappeared in 1534. So it was 50 years after that. It was actually 1583, I believe. It was 49 years, to be exact, that this festival actually happened. And thousands of devotees had come just to associate with each other and to glorify. Narottam Das Thakur was considered to be the great soul who was performing many of the ceremonies there. And Janavadevi, it's interesting, she was actually the presiding senior devotee of all the devotees. Lord Nityananda's eternal consort, Janavadevi, was worshipped as the best of all devotees. And she was honored in that way. But when she came to the festival, what did she do? She cooked. She cooked for all the devotees. And she arranged for the devotees to find nice housing. Narottam Das Thakur's cousin, can't remember his name, but he was actually a king, a prince, and he had so much wealth, and he built so many residences for the devotees to come. And there was a deity installation the first day. They had six deities they were going to install. Narottam Das Thakur was there, and many of the devotees had never met Narottam. They had heard about this great personality, but now they were getting a chance to meet him. And Narottam Das Thakur had the same bodily color as Lord Chaitanya. His body was golden. How he received it, he took bath in the Padma River, and when the Padma River realized who this personality was, that same river was bathed in by Lord Chaitanya. And when she understood that this was Lord Chaitanya's message to her, that when this personality bathes in my waters, I should give him Mahaprabhu's color. He had a dark color, and as soon as he bathed, when he came out, he was golden. So he was actually the representative of Lord Chaitanya and at that time. So, and he had developed a particular style of kirtan that was unique. And the first day, they began the kirtan. And he had a pair of kartals, and he led the kirtan. It's described nicely by Nityananda Das in one account, and it's also mentioned in Vrindavan Das Thakur, describes this particular pastime. And when he was leading the kirtan, there was 14 other kartals and 7 mridangas. That was a kirtan. You can imagine the sound. Tumultuous. But it didn't start out like that. It started out very slow and very melodious with great devotion and with great attention he was chanting. And he was so absorbed. Finally, the kirtaniers followed his lead so nicely, and gradually the kartals and the mridangas started to come in accordingly. And soon the kirtan started to build. And the kirtan just kept building and building and building. And the kirtan actually became beyond ecstatic. Ecstatic is just kind of like a small word to describe this. Because the devotees were beyond themselves with happiness. But what brought that ecstasy is that because of Narottam Das Thakur's pure loving devotion and his expertise in chanting the holy names, Mahaprabhu, along with Lord Nityananda, and all the eternal associates of the Lord who had disappeared already, who had left the planet, appeared in the kirtan. Not as a vision, but personally. They were physically in the kirtan, and everybody saw them. Advaita's son, Achyutananda, saw his father. Janava saw her husband, Nityananda. And it goes on to explain how Mukunda, his son Raghunandana Thakur, saw his father. All of the associates that of Lord that disappeared after the Lord Chaitanya had left appeared in the kirtan, and they were dancing in ecstasy. Imagine if that happened in Bhaktivedanta Manor. What would happen? You can imagine. If Lord Chaitanya... You know, it's possible. It's not like it's this thing is just happens in this the Lord will personally preach when kirtan is actually offenseless, when everyone in the kirtan is fully engaged with loving devotion in that kirtan. You can imagine the amazing things that happen. And Prabhupada said that. He said Lord Chaitanya will personally appear in that kirtan. Personally, he said. So this is what happened. But because of the ecstasy of so many thousands of devotees, all focused on this kirtan, the entire Panchatattva with their entourage appeared. And they stayed for a long time. And that kirtan went on. It's described in one scripture, Narottam Vilas, by... Who wrote Narottam Vilas? Can't remember. The same person who wrote Bhakti Ratnakara. I can't remember his name. Anyway, the author of Bhakti Ratnakara wrote Narottam Vilas. And in that, it's also mentioned in Bhakti Ratnakara that the devotees were rolling on the ground, crying, unconscious, falling over, all the ecstatic symptoms and manifested in full were in that kirtan. And Narottam Das was so focused that he somehow retained his ecstasy and didn't let it disturb his chanting. This is a great soul that they sometimes fight the ecstasies in order to do their service. So he was focused, it's described in detail in Narottam Vilas, that account, what was happening in that kirtan. And then, what happened at one point? Now you could imagine, such ecstasy. When ecstasy reaches such a height, and then all of a sudden something changes, the opposite happens. That same ecstasy turns into sadness, despair, devastation, you name different kinds of, we say, ecstatic symptoms that are of the opposite, and they all disappeared. Everyone who appeared, all of a sudden, they were gone. Where did they go? And everyone just, that was it. Amazing. This was an amazing festival. And it was all because of the potency of the great souls who had come. Narottam Das Thakur, Janava Devi, Srinivas Acharya, who was actually, you know, from Narottam Das Thakur's, he saw him as his spiritual master. He worshipped Srinivas Acharya. In fact, when Srinivas Acharya left the planet, Narottam Das Thakur didn't want to live anymore. And he decided to leave the planet because of the disappearance of first Srinivas Acharya and then Ramachandra Kaviraj. They were so close together. It says they were like one soul in two bodies. Such was the intimacy of love and relationship between Lord Chaitanya's associates. They couldn't live without each other's association. And so... all these great souls were there at this particular festival. And then, of course, the festival went on for 6 days, I believe. I think it was 6 days. And Janavadevi cooked. Let's describe how she cooked, what she cooked. This was described in detail in Chaitanya Bhagavat. The preparations were so tasty and so good that overeating was there for everybody. And no one could stop eating her. And everyone was feeling, what we say, happy. They ate so much, but that the more they ate, the happier they got. Although they were full, Prabhupada says, when you eat prasadam, there's three levels of being full. It's full here, and then you're full here. But when you're full up to here, that's the limit. And then that's called intoxication. In the old days of Krishna consciousness, that was a main feature of our prasadam activities. We would try to go for up to here and then try to outdo Prabhupada's statements and maybe go like, you know, who could eat the most? I don't think we do it anymore. We used to have glub jamun eating contests. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj ate 88 glub jamuns once. No, 86, I'm sorry. 86. Somebody else beat him in 88, but the other person couldn't hold it, so he won the competition. Devotees used to do that a lot. We would see glub jamun eating contests. We would hit the real big ones, but lately after that, and we saw a few devastations, so they started making the glub jamuns a little smaller in order to keep the devotees alive, because you know how much sugar that is? Wow, it's like getting intoxicated. It's almost illegal to take that much sugar. So, you know, devotees like prasadam. But this was, when this cooking by Janavadevi was so celestial that everyone was just laughing and smiling and eating more, and she was so pleased. She fed all the devotees through her serving team. There was a team of 22 servers. And then after the serving team served everyone, they sat down, and she personally sat down. She personally served the serving team. She was considered to be the guru of all the devotees at the time. But she took the position of serving the devotees by cooking and doing this, serving out the prasadam she had cooked. It's nice when you cook it and then you also serve it, because you can see the happiness that devotees have after what you've made. So this was the Kateri Gram festival. It lasted for 6 days. And the devotees honored Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, it's one of the most amazing festivals. So Kanu Thakur was also present at that festival. Okay, so these are some of the incidents in the life of Kanu Thakur. And we'll be hearing more about these great associates. Any questions or comments?